AM 1220 The Word, or Salem Communications.
WHKW Cleveland, WHKZ Warren, bringing the word to Northern Ohio. A service of Salem Communications. It's Jay Sekulow live, fighting for your constitutional freedom every weekday at noon on AM 1220, The Word.
Family Christian is celebrating the grand opening of its new store in Boardman with a 40% off regular price sale today through Sunday, March 2nd only. You don't want to miss this. Today, take 40% off all Bibles. Plus, Tuesday and Wednesday only, all music and videos are 40% off. Now's the time to experience the big grand opening of the new Family Christian in Boardman, located between Target and Value City Furniture on Boardman Poland Road. Don't miss it.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thick, and as one of those TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money, so here goes. Rule number one, don't mess with the IRS. They're cracking down this year. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank account, even your home or business could be up for grabs over unpaid taxes. It's all true. But it's also true that they're offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for a tax settlement that's 75% lower than before these recent changes. The experts at Optima Tax Relief will work to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
I sometimes wonder what my integrity report card might look like. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I wonder what kind of marks God would give me, or you, in the important junctures of our lives. For instance, have you corrupted your principles just to stay in business? Have you cheated to get a good grade? Have you manipulated things to make the position on the team? Have I winked at language or behavior that a few years ago might have horrified me? Are you right now compromising morally? Am I careful to do God's work, God's way? Integrity is not just a marker along the road, but a way of life. How am I doing? How are you doing?
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program, use it to point people to Christ, and we just pray we could be a blessing and an encouragement to someone tonight. We thank you for the opportunity, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome again to another edition, like I said, of Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and certainly enjoying kind of a nice week this past week. Temperatures came up a bit. Some of the snow's melting off a little bit. Starting to get chilly again tonight. I guess we get a little more trip into the icebox this week coming up. I think spring will be here maybe about June or July, hopefully. But this is Northeast Ohio. You just got to get used to it. This is like it was back in the 70s. Remember in the 1970s when I was in high school, we studied why the ice age was coming because we had so much cold weather and so much snow back then. And it's cyclical. So it is kind of interesting. I saw the Old Farmer's Almanac was fairly accurate predicting eastern half of the United States would be colder than normal and snowier than normal. And they beat the National Weather Service that was predicting that I think December and January were going to be milder and less snow. So kind of amazing. You are listening to our program tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Those phone numbers are 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. I was reading something online, started actually reading it Friday night after our Friday night Bible study at the Bible Baptist Church where I'm the pastor in Richfield. And I found this blog written by a young lady who spent a period of time, I believe it was 11 months, in American Samoa as a volunteer teacher with the World Teach Organization. And I wasn't really familiar with the World Teach Organization, but apparently they recruit people in their 20s, 30s, I guess, to go places and teach in various parts of the world to kind of help out. And she was in her mid-20s, college graduate, and I think she'd studied marine biology or something like that. And she was recruited to teach in American Samoa, and she was teaching in the Tafuna High School. Now, what caught my eye about the blog is my wife and I spent 4 years in American Samoa, and we started a church there. And that's kind of how I found the blog, because I was looking up some information. And in the search engine that I used, I had entered some words. I don't remember what all was there. And American Samoa was part of it, and Baptist churches was another part of it. And I found this blog, and as I started looking at parts of it, I found that she was mentioning people that I knew and referencing places that I had been, and she even lived for a time at the bottom of the road that my wife and I lived on for several years. And so I began going through the blog, and then lo and behold, I found out that she had been attending a church there called Vaioliola Baptist Church. And in Samoa, Samoan language, Vaioliola refers to the River of Life. And that was actually the church that my wife and I had started when we were there back in the 1990s. At that time, it was called Grace Baptist Church. And then later on, after we were gone, and a few years later, they actually changed the name to Vaioliola, and which was a good name, River of Life Baptist Church. We had actually almost called it Alofa Tunoa Baptist Church. Alofa Tunoa in Samoan is grace. Alofa means love. Tunoa means free or without cost. And that's certainly what God's grace is. It's given to us freely because of God's love. And so I was reading through this, and she was talking about visiting the church, and here's what impressed me. Remember, this is a young lady, 20-some years old, coming from somewhat of a liberal background, and she was the demographic that church growth experts would tell us here in America are the type that would not be drawn to a church like the church that we planted in American Samoa, or like the church that I pastor currently, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church here in Ohio. And the reason is the type of music we use, the traditional old hymns of the faith, and also we hang to the King James Bible. And those are the kind of things that are supposed to be a turnoff to young adults today. And we're supposed to use these new versions and contemporary music and all that. But the course of the blog, this young lady stated that one of the things that happened is that a lady there working in the Department of Education had actually invited her to the church. And that lady was actually one of our main people when we started the church, one of the first couples that came. And so it shows that young people, and this young lady was from Nebraska. She was, of course, there in American Samoa, which is U.S. territory. And that young lady shows that, hey, it still works when somebody in church invites people, even when an older person invites a younger person. And then she went to the church, and she said that one of the things that she found amazing, and she had grown up going to a liberal or a Lutheran church of a more liberal persuasion than our church there in Samoa or our church here in Ohio. And she said one of the things that really caused her to like that church was she heard songs that preached, or, well, I shouldn't say preached, but carried a biblical message, and that actually made her interested. She said the songs, even though they were traditional songs, they spoke to her heart, and they carried a message of the Bible. And the other thing is the people singing them, it wasn't a huge church, and it's not a huge church, and she said the people singing them sang them with meaning. They sang them like they believed what they were singing, and it appealed, it interested her, it appealed to her, and it caused her to want to go back. And she wrote in her blog, after going to church twice on Sunday and then twice the following Sunday, that she was remarking to her family that was reading the blog, they'd be surprised to find out how often she had been in church, and that she actually sat up front, and then she had a line, she said, "How un-Lutheran of me." But it was very interesting reading that, but then in the course of reading and hearing her encounters with the church and how she started going, she became friends with people in the church. The people in the church showed an interest in her, and they invited her to eat, and they invited her to participate in things. And she became friends with people in the church and some people her own age. And she ended up going to that church and becoming involved in it the entire time that she was there. She's since left and back to the States. But I thought something interesting. We can learn from that, that if you remain true to the Word of God, and if you'll love God with your music, these traditional hymns of the faith, they'll still speak to the hearts of people, young and old alike. And then on a side note, it was kind of a blessing to me to hear her say that she was surprised when she went on Sunday nights that they would sing songs, several songs chosen by the congregation, which is something that we had introduced while we were there. And we actually do that at our church every Sunday night. People in the congregation get to pick songs. And then she also had remarked that at around Christmas time, that on the Sunday morning prior to Christmas, the pastor read the Christmas story from the scriptures, and they sang Christmas hymns, some old traditional hymns that she remembered from when she was a little girl. And that, again, was kind of nice to hear, because if you've listened to our program for any length of time, on the Sunday night before Christmas, we do just that. We read the Christmas story according to the scriptures. And we left copies of that behind when we left American Samoa. And so it's kind of nice to see some of these things that we instituted being used today. And then best of all, one of the young men who probably was about maybe a second grader or something like that, maybe third grade at the most when we first met him, he's now assistant pastor in the church. And what a blessing to see some results and some positive influence that we were able to have. Now, she didn't know she was writing something that God would use to encourage me and bless me, but it was. And I guess saying all that to remind you, you never know what good will come from the things that you do for the Lord. It might be a few years later, might be somewhere down the road, but you never know who you're going to influence and what you're going to do when you serve God. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have Nancy in Euclid on the line. Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Hey, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. I just had a question about 2 Corinthians 6:17.
All right.
And it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate." So I wondered if that Bible verse would apply for born-again Christians participating in a largely Catholic pro-life rally. I would just like your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, that's actually a good question, and there are people who would argue over this. But let's go ahead and read the passage that deals with that, that starts in let's go up to verse 14 and just read through that before I answer that, because it's always good to keep things in context. Yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And then he says in verse 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And then it continues, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And that's a principle of separation that's in the Bible. This is one passage. There's other passages that talk about that. And a lot of times, people will get caught up with the various issues and causes, pro-life being a big one, and they'll say the issue or the cause is so great, we should yoke up with anybody that basically has our opinion. But, I mean, it's said right here, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, I understand that there are some things that you have to do in the course of life. You know, you work. You can't say, well, I'm only going to work in a place where everybody believes exactly as I believe. This isn't talking about in the workplace, although you could make an application if you were going to go in business with somebody and be partners in a business. You would probably want to be on the same page in the things that you believe. And certainly in regards to marrying somebody, entering into that type of a close relationship, you would want to be of the same belief. But primarily we're talking about Christians in terms of you know, like the church activities and things, because notice what it says, and this is an area where, this is why I use the King James Version of the Bible for one of the many reasons. It said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together." And when it starts with a Y, like the word ye or you or your, that's a plural personal pronoun. as opposed to thee or thy or thine. Those are singular personal pronouns. It makes a difference oftentimes in the understanding of the scripture. And so I take this, he's writing to the Corinthians, because actually in verse 11 he says, O ye Corinthians. You can see that he's talking to the Corinthian church here. And what this is a warning for churches. Now, we can apply this on individual level, but primarily this is a warning of churches that God's churches are not supposed to be yoked up with unbelieving groups. Now, see, I as a Christian, as an individual Christian, I may get involved in certain organizations. But as a pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, I am not going to yoke my church up with many organizations. I'm not going to yoke my church up with organizations that reject the truths of God's Word. I'm not going to yoke my church up with organizations that preach another gospel, which, as Paul told the Corinthians, is not another, but it's actually a perversion of the gospel. And that's what we need to be careful of. But oftentimes, we see churches yoking up with, Bible-believing churches yoking up with unbelieving organizations. And but because the cause is good.
Yes.
And I think there's a danger there, because the danger is that as a pastor, because I'm yoked up with this group and my church is a part of this group now, I may not be willing to warn about the errors and the false doctrine of that group. And that's a danger. And so God pretty much gives us the guidance. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Ye, that's a that's a plural pronoun. Be ye separate. The church should come out from those organizations and touch not the unclean thing. And that doesn't say anything about whatever the issue is. That's a command of Scripture. And now people are going to look at that and have different, perhaps, of interpretations, but I'm just trying to go basically with what the Bible says. You know, people will often say, well, that's your interpretation. I say, well, okay, what does the plain, literal teaching say there? Well, that's what it says.
It seems pretty clear to me.
It seems pretty clear to me, too. And so, basically, if I were to yoke my church up and we preach, saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, with a church that believed in that that's not good enough, that you had to do good works to get saved and maintain your salvation, I'm hooked up with somebody who's preaching a false gospel. And so my responsibility would be come out from among them, be ye separate. And now it doesn't matter what the issue is, but sometimes people say, well, the issue is more important than the doctrine. The issue is more important than what the Bible says. Now, there's a danger, isn't it, when we say the issue is more important than the Bible?
Yes, that's always sort of confused me, so I'm really happy to have your input. And then also I wanted to know, is it possible for a Catholic to get born again and then stay in his Catholic church?
Oh, absolutely possible, but I certainly don't recommend it.
I mean, is it possible they're really saved? If they do, I mean, shouldn't the Holy Spirit lead them out of the Catholic Church? Because
born again? Yeah, but you got to remember, the Holy Spirit tries to lead us, and oftentimes we kind of dig in our heels, and there's a lot of things that we as Christians, we kind of balk at changing. And for some people to come out of the Roman Catholic Church, it's a difficult thing. Because of family and friends and all kinds of things, it's very difficult. In fact, when Martin Luther rejected the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church and realized that salvation was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, he read that in Romans where it said, the just shall live by faith. He tried to stay in the Catholic Church and change it from within. The Catholic Church pushed him out. And oftentimes that's what will happen. You try that, and they'll push you out. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course, you know, there's other times where just because of lack of clear teaching, people haven't seen this. I talked to one guy, ironically, this was down in the Samoan Islands, and this one guy down there who I thought would have known better, I was explaining something that I couldn't get involved in something because of this very issue here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And he said, oh, well, that's not a Bible doctrine. That's just your doctrine. And I said, well, it's right here in the scripture. And he said, well, sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. So, so he was justifying ignoring scripture by first off saying it's not there and then saying, well, sometimes you have to break scripture. I had a woman when I was in the Air Force, when I rededicated my life to the Lord and got back in church and was trying to find God's will for my life. And this one woman in the Air Force, when I was stationed over in England, she said, I don't care what the Bible says. And if God calls somebody to do this particular thing, they should do it.
Oh, my goodness.
But God's not going to call somebody contrary to the Word of God. So now there's a lot of things that we can do and a lot of things that we make mistakes. And certainly God is going to honor the preaching of his word, whoever does it. Mm-hmm. But our responsibility is to be as close to the scriptures as we can. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be perfect this side of heaven, but we try to do the best that we can. There's some things that are very clear if you read the scriptures and spend time praying and asking for discernment. So,
okay, well, thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We have Fran on hold. And, Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Oh, good evening, Fran. You there?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks. I'm curious about Samoa. Mm-hmm. Samoan Islands,
sure.
Are they Polynesian?
Yes, they are. It's a heart of Polynesia, actually.
Right.
They're located, the Samoan Islands are located, if you go to Hawaii, we had to fly to Hawaii to get there, and
right.
You go from Hawaii in the direction of New Zealand, about two-thirds of the way to New Zealand, just below the equator, you'll encounter the Samoan Islands. Out in the middle of the South Pacific, you can't get there by accident. You have to plan to get there. And it's one of the most remote places. I've been to England. I've you know, been at the coast of France, and I've flown over Ireland and flown over Greenland and flown over Canada and been into Canada and Mexico. But I should say the Samoan Islands are the farthest I've ever been for anywhere. It's,
right. Yes.
It's a great place to visit.
My question is, are they Buddhists usually?
No. The interesting thing is the Samoan people were in the 1700s, 1800s, when the Europeans and the Americans first made contact with them. They were into a variety of gods, and they had all kinds of gods. Anything could be a god, practically. If you were praying to see what your personal god was, and a coconut crab walked by, that would be your god. And so you couldn't eat coconut crabs. I could, because it's not my god. My god might have been an eel or a coconut itself. But and all kinds of things. They had personal gods, family gods, village gods, and regional island gods and things like that.
Right.
And there was a lot of paganism, but Christianity came in the 1800s. A missionary by the name of John Williams, London Missionary Society, had been in Tahiti. And he came from Tahiti with some Tahitians that knew the Samoan language. And they arrived in Samoa, and they began proclaiming the gospel, and it's amazing. The islands quickly embraced Christianity. It swept through the islands. It displaced most of the pagan religions, and they became Christianized. However, just as fast, you know, if you ever see a piece of tissue paper burn versus a piece of wood, it burns up fast, and then it's gone. And it burned, I mean, Christianity burned through the islands quickly, and then many of those pagan practices began kind of finding their way back in little by little. And Samoan today is a very religious society, calls itself Christian, unfortunately, as far as born-again Christianity goes, let me give you an example. There was a pastor of a Samoan congregational church that we knew of who went to the United States. He got invited to an evangelistic meeting. He heard the gospel. Him and his wife got saved. He went back to Samoa, began preaching the gospel in his church, and the people got upset with him, reported him to the hierarchy, and they threatened to throw him out of the pulpit if he didn't stop preaching that gospel nonsense. And when we started our church in the little village of Leloaloa at the time, there was a Methodist church right next to us. And they sent some people over to listen to see what we had to say. And they said that their pastor wanted them to visit other churches and talk to people of other religions to see if they could find some truth to bring back to their church.
Yeah.
And they weren't preaching the gospel. And so when we preached the gospel, people would look at us funny, and they thought, well, we're Christian because we go to church, we pray, we have all the motions, but it's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Yeah. So how is it today? Are they?
That's today, and they're very friendly.
Coming in the Lord today.
There are some churches. The church that we started is still there. There's a few other churches there trying to preach the gospel. But unfortunately, for such a Christian nation, one of the highest rates of wife abuse and alcoholism in the world. Well, we're out of time this segment.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stay tuned and even join in if you've got a question about the Bible or the Word of God, and or current events in light of God's Word, I should say, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. More information on that will be given at the end of the program. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza, also has calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100, located right across from the high school at 4889 Turney Road. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, and maybe you've looked into it and you've been scared off by the high franchise fees, why don't you call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus and see how he can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and we've got another caller coming in. And before we get to our caller, just want to mention, remember our new website that we're working on. It's still a work in progress, whatifgodexists.com. And we're trying to look at the two questions, what if God really exists, and then follow up to that. Wouldn't it be his responsibility to tell us? And so that's kind of what we're following there, whatifgodexists.com. All right, well, we're getting back to the program. Again, if you've got a call or a question, give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have Kim in Youngstown on the line. Kim, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I have a question on... I used to go to this church and for a long, long time, and I got saved there. Well, not saved there, but I went there after I got saved, and they taught one way, and then years later down the road, they changed their teaching, and I didn't know what it was called, but they didn't believe that everybody got a chance to go to heaven.
Okay.
They believed that, that only God would pick certain people.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know what that was until, I mean, my spirit, I just felt really weird in my spirit. I didn't feel right about it. And because I believe God gives everybody a chance.
Oh, absolutely. But, in fact,
they were teaching Calvinism.
Right. I was going to say that's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
You know, the idea basically behind Calvinism is that God is absolutely sovereign. And so the way that he can know everybody that's going to be saved is because he has decreed that certain people will get saved and certain people won't. And so also the following from that is that God knows the future because he's decreed everything that's going to happen. Everything that happens happens because God decreed it. In fact, I was sitting in a donut shop down in Norton several years back, and I was talking to the owner, and this guy came in, and he pulled a pen out of his pocket, and he said, "See this pen?" And he dropped it on the counter, and he said, "Before the beginning, before God created the heavens and the earth, he decreed that I would walk into this donut shop on this day and drop this pen on the counter." I looked at him, and I said, "No, before God created the heavens and the earth, he knew that you would walk into this donut shop and drop your pen on the counter." And he disagreed. And see, the idea is if we have free will, God's not absolutely sovereign, therefore we can't have free will. And another part of that is, how can somebody who's not saved hear and understand the gospel and get saved? And the fact of the matter is, God moves on their heart, he enlightens them and gives them understanding so that they can hear the gospel and believe the gospel and have a chance to get saved. Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. see, they confuse foreknowledge with forecausage. And I'll give an example here that foreknowledge is not always forecausage. I'll make a prediction. The sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. Now, when that happens, I think you would agree that I didn't cause that to happen.
Right.
I'm making that prediction based on past experience and you know, understanding basic physics and astronomy and things of that nature. Here's another thing that Calvinism does that I disagree with. They make God the author of every evil thing that's ever taken place. The Bible says God is not, God cannot lie. The devil is the author of sin. I had a Calvinist tell me it was God's will for Adam to disobey God.
Right.
And because he created that. I've mentioned on the air before that I went to school, high school, with Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer. Next to him in homeroom all through high school. And, you know, what that means is that God decreed that Jeffrey Dahmer would kill those people and mutilate their bodies and do the things that he did. And see, that's not true. That's sin nature. See, I can prove right now that God cannot do everything. And I have chapter and verse for it. Let me turn over here to the book of Titus. Give me just a moment. I'm going to turn over to the book of Titus, and I just thought of this right here. In Titus chapter number 1, I can disprove that God is absolutely sovereign. Now, a Calvinist listening is going to say, oh, heresy, heresy. I'm going to quote the word of God. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Do you catch what that just said? God cannot do something. He cannot lie. Now, if God is absolutely sovereign, he could do anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
But that right there, God is limited. God cannot lie. I have a good friend of mine, and we go to the Medina County Fair each year and the Cuyahoga County Fair, and he has a booth we have some gospel tracts, and we try to talk to people about the Lord. And one of the things he has on the booth is a thing that says, see, three things God cannot do. And this is number one on there. God cannot lie. Mm-hmm. And boy, do we get some looks. I had one little lady the one time, and it was great. It was just precious. She came up, and she got mad at us. She shook her cane at us. And she was angry, and she said, there's nothing my God can't do. My God can do anything. He can do everything. And she was really getting mad. She was going to defend God. I think if she was about 20 years younger and 20 pounds heavier, she would have taken us on. She was ready to go. And she had a gun. I think she'd unloaded on us. But we got her to open the first door, and when she saw that it said that God cannot lie, she started to chuckle, and she goes, you know what? That's right. My God cannot lie. And we got her to open the second door, and the second door was in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. Mm-hmm. And this is something else God can't do. Now, this is hard for the Calvinist, because the Calvinist said that God's absolute sovereign. He can do anything he wants to do. Well, no, right here. Malachi 3 verse 6, Bible says, for I am the Lord. I change not.
Right.
That's pretty good. God's not going to change. He is the Lord. He changes not. And, you know, the truth of the matter is God's holiness, God's righteousness, the nature of God limits him in certain areas. He is limited in his sovereignty because he has his very nature, his holiness, his righteousness, that limits him so that there are certain things that God cannot do.
Well,
and what's that?
Change when, you know, when Moses was asking God not to, that he was going to kill everybody, and Moses said, if you're going to kill everybody, kill me too, that Moses was trying to get him not to.
Right.
To kill, and he did. He said, well, if you can find some in Sodom and Gomorrah, so many good people, that I won't.
Right. That was when Abraham talked with God. Yeah.
Okay.
And they went back and forth and he got him down to where God said, if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom, I'll spare the city.
Yeah.
So
what do you call that?
Now that was Abraham was interceding, and you know, God of course knew that he wasn't going to find the 10 people there. Lot had been there. Lot was a righteous man. The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man, and Lot though had compromised his witness. And all he was able to take out of the city when he left. Remember, when he left Abraham, he was a very rich man, and he had servants and flocks, and the country couldn't hold the both of them. He left Sodom with his wife and two daughters and the clothes on their back.
That's right.
His other daughters that were married and their husbands laughed at him because his testimony was gone. And so as a consequence, you know, he was not able to reach people. Had Lot been able to reach people in Sodom, God might have spared Sodom.
Yeah, right.
And yet there wasn't anybody there. God showed that he was willing to spare Sodom. But,
you know, I have this dilemma, though. A girlfriend of mine, they even wrote a book, this church, on Calvinism, this new, you know, and they said they taught us wrong before. Now this is the right way. Well, I didn't think it was the right way, so I had to go. But this, I didn't go on bad terms. I just had to, you know, my spirit wasn't right with it. But my girlfriend says that they don't teach that.
Mm.
And I said, yes, they do, Susie. But you know what? How do I get her to understand without breaking her heart? You know, she loves this church.
Right, and a lot of it has to do with prayer and pointing people to the scriptures. I knew of some people that went to two different churches, one Ohio, one West Virginia, and they said that they were called Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, one of them, and the other one, I forget what it was called. The one in West Virginia had Sovereign Grace Baptist in the name. And in both of these churches, the pastor told the congregations, don't bring unsaved people here. There's nothing here for unsaved people. This church is only for saved people.
I'm sorry.
I think that's a lie from the devil. We're here to preach the gospel. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
And that's our responsibility. And now people think, well, if you're not a Calvinist, then you must be an Arminian, and that's the and you think that's the opposite of a Calvinist. And, and I disagree. I think there, if you look at a triangle and you take the biblical position at the top, where you have free will but eternal security, and there's some other things, and as you depart from that position, you drop down and off to either the right or left into Calvinism or Arminianism. And we want to be at the top of that triangle. There's a great book I'd recommend if you want to find out more about Calvinism.
Yeah.
Dave Hunt wrote a book called What Love Is This? It's Dave Hunt is the author. What Love Is This? You can find it online at Amazon, I'm sure, or in a Christian bookstore. You could probably order it. But What Love Is This by Dave Hunt? That's a great book. He goes through the arguments of Calvinism, and he compares it with what the Word of God has to say.
Okay.
So hopefully that helps you out there tonight, Kim.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling. I appreciate your call tonight. God bless.
Thanks.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Rick in Elyria waiting on the line. Rick, welcome to the program.
Well, welcome. Thank you, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. I have a question, right?
Yes, sir.
I talked with one of the persons in the church, and that, so, I mean, they weren't not in the leadership, but it's just a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned, they were asked, like, how your finances are to a group of people. I said, well, mine's not doing great. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I had mentioned to them that, you know, according to the book of Acts, where, you know, the people, they distributed the wealth and all that kind of stuff. And the apostle said, we're not waiting for tables and that. You know what I mean?
Okay. I know the approximate part.
Where he said, appoint seven elders.
Right, there are seven men. Yeah, seven men they called out.
And my question was, you know, as I was telling them, the congregation I'm in is like a 5,000-member congregation sitting. I mean, that's how many people there, you know what I mean? So it's a very large congregation in that. And I'm wondering, you know, why, if you need help financially for, like, you know, your water heater goes down out of the blue or whatever the case might be, you know, you got to go through, not through them, but through another agency. And I'm like, well, why doesn't a church this big appoint seven people, just like how they did in the Book of Acts, to distribute amongst the immediate, you know, the congregation people, not just the outside people, but just to help the congregation people? Because, you know, I thought that was kind of scriptural, you know. And the other person, right. I heard something about that before. I kind of vaguely, because, you know, they didn't really know, but they remembered something about that, you know, about that setting. And then their response was, that was then and this is now. And I'm like, well, I think it's still supposed to be.
And I would agree with you that churches ought to be endeavoring to help people out within the churches. What you see in the Book of Acts there is you had a lot of people who came to Christ in the Jerusalem area because they were there, you know, for the Passover and the unleavened bread feasts. And then they stayed, many of them, until the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, the followers of Christ, and they went out proclaiming the word of God in various languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Bible talks about. And people from all over the known world, Jews from all over the known world, were in Jerusalem at that time, and many of them came to Christ. And in fact, thousands of people got saved, embraced Christ as the Messiah. And so they wanted to stay in and around Jerusalem, where the first church was and where the disciples were and where the word of God was going forth. And they were excited about all of that. And so as a result, they didn't have places to live. You know, they only came to stay for a short period of time. And so now they didn't have work, they didn't have homes. And so the church came together to support these people and to take care of them and to help them find places to live, work to do. And they brought in money, and they shared it to share the burden, to bear the burdens of each other. And as they did that, you know, you see various people selling property and things of that nature. Yeah. It wasn't communism where they were forced to bring. They freely chose to do that.
Right, because they acknowledged they didn't consider nothing of their own.
Right. And so many of these people then, you know, of course, began to become support, you know, self-supporting and things of that nature. And so you get to Acts chapter 6, and it starts out there. It says, and in those days, in verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, the Grecians here, these are Jews who came outside of Judea, some of them from Greece and Rome and elsewhere in the Roman Empire. And it said there was a murmuring between them because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And they had fallen into this practice. They had thousands of people to help take care of, and the people in and around Jerusalem are contributing and helping and providing food. And the disciples found themselves trying to make sure everybody got something to eat, everybody that needed a place to stay could have a place to stay. Yeah, and they found they were spending all their time ministering to the physical needs of people, and they weren't able to minister to everybody's needs. And so now arguing and murmuring begins to set in. And so God led them, I believe, to this decision. It says in verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, he's not saying that a minister can't, you know, serve tables. He's just saying that's not our primary focus.
correct. Yeah.
So that's where he said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And I believe this was the calling of the first deacons. Some people would argue that, but I believe that this was the first deacons. And he said, "You select seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." And these are leaders in the church, not in the pastoral role, not in the ministerial role. These are men, godly men, selected to help oversee the physical needs of the church.
Right. And that was that's where I'd cited with the person. I had mentioned, I said, we are in economic times right now. It's really rough for other people all around. But, that's what I was like. A group this large should be able to minister to their own people who have need.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas now how it is standing where the group that I'm with, the church is, if you have a need, you got to go to an outside agency where a group of churches are supposed to help out on that. And, it's like, this is when I think this is supposed to be the local congregation where those individuals, those seven people selected would know that person when they would meet.
Now, you just made a very good point there. You just made a very good point, and I want to repeat that so people catch that. The people there in that local congregation, these men, these deacons, would know them, and they would be able to know that the need is real or not. Unfortunately, we live in a day... Yeah, we live in a day when people, are con artists. They try to scam money out of churches. We had a guy call our church one time, and he thought he was calling another church on the other, on the other side of town. And we asked him, "Well, what church do you go to?" And this guy on the other end shouted out to the guy on the phone, said, "He said, want to know what church we go to?" And the other guy shouted back, "Tell him we go to his church." And not being a small church, we knew everybody in the church, and we knew these two guys didn't go to our church.
Well, this is a question that I had mentioned. I said, that person would need help, like on a Sunday, you seven deacons would be here, and the people need help, go meet them. And then those people would meet those seven, and then the seven would agree for the help. I mean, I think this is a scriptural thing.
Right. And
because,
And it may be that you can match up people that need help in the church with perhaps somebody that needs some work done and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And like Paul said, he was talking about charity in the church and all, and he said if a man is not, I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head, if a man's not willing to work, he should not eat.
Right.
And he didn't say if he can't work, he said if he's not willing to work.
Well, this is what the person had mentioned. I thought, look, I've been employed, same job for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And just when general things happen, things fall apart or whatever, and all of a sudden you get yourself stuck in a bind, and now you're forever catching up.
Right,
You know what I mean? There should be an avenue where I can say, hey, look, I'm trying to catch up. I just simply can't. I'm stuck in a hole here.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be, I would think, in the local group where the people would come by, they go to the seven elders and say, hey, look at the situation I'm at. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they should be able to come help the aid. And I do believe that there are some good people in the church who would be very happy to do that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have an agency. So that's like right now something, because traffic happens.
Hey.
And
we're running out of time, and I'm going to have to cut you down right there.
Yeah.
We're out of time, and really that's the importance of the local church. And the local church used to do that prior to abdicating to the government. Out of time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.